Welcome to the Beacon Broadcast from Beacon Baptist Church in Burlington, North Carolina, featuring expositional Bible teaching by Pastor Greg Barkman. If you'd like to correspond with the Beacon Broadcast, or if you wish to support this radio ministry, write to the Beacon Broadcast, Post Office Box 159, Alamance, North Carolina, 27201, or find us on the web at beaconbaptist.com. BeaconBaptist.com. The Beacon Broadcast is supported in part by the gifts of faithful listeners. Now, with today's message from God's Word, here is Greg Barkman.
Amazing grace.
Today on the Beacon Broadcast, we come to the final words of the Apostle Paul in his 1 Corinthian epistle. It's a large epistle, 16 chapters, and we've been working through it line upon line and verse upon verse, trying to be honest and careful with every portion of this section of God's holy word. But every epistle comes to a close, and this is no exception. We're coming down to the very final words of the Apostle Paul, but they are significant words. All of the words, all Scripture is given by inspiration of God. All of it is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction, for instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, or that is, mature, thoroughly equipped for every good work. So we don't want to ignore these final words. There's some real important truth to be found here. In fact, in life in general, final words are usually considered to be quite significant. The final farewell of a soldier going off to war is an important communication. The final advice of a political leader before retiring to private life is generally considered to be important. The final words of a loved one before passing into eternity are generally considered to be vitally important words. And the final words of the Apostle Paul before he closes an epistle, a large and major epistle, is an important matter. In these final words, he answers questions about marriage and spiritual gifts and meats offered to idols and on and on. He addresses controversies, divisions, cliques. He corrects errors. He addresses problems of immorality. He deals with the doctrine of the bodily resurrection of believers. He laments weaknesses of the church at Corinth and lack of love for the brethren. And he closes with the final words that we're going to begin looking at today. We'll not have time to consider them all on this one broadcast. So thank you for joining me on this Friday, August 12. And thank you for remembering that we must have financial support to continue teaching God's Word on this station. Here are Paul's final words, 1 Corinthians 16, 22, 23, and 24. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. O Lord, come. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. My love be with you. Rather, my love be with you all in Christ Jesus. Amen. So what do we have? We have a warning, a prayer, a benediction, and an affirmation. First of all, a warning, back to verse 22. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Wow, that's strong. You wouldn't expect something like that in Paul's closing words, but there it is. You don't find anything quite like that in any other epistle, but in this epistle, this is important, this is significant, and this is what Paul, directed by the Spirit of God, writes. It sounds like there may be people in the Corinthian church who don't truly love the Lord Jesus Christ. In other words, they are unsaved church members, unregenerate church members. That's what it sounds like. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Professing believers, members of the church, who claim to know Christ, but something is missing. What? In this case, it's not a church attendance that is missing. It is not evidently involvement with other believers that is missing. It is not being active in some way in the work of the church that is missing. It's not even necessarily a good reputation in the community that is missing. You say, well, if all of those things are in place, then surely everything's okay. Nope, something's missing. What is the troubling condition? They do not love the Lord. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. So think about what I just said in the light of your own relationship to the church. Are you a church attender? Good for you. That's important. I'm talking to some who aren't, and that's very concerning. Are you involved with other members of the church? That's good. We've been talking about the importance of that over the last two or three broadcasts. I'm thankful that that describes you. Are you involved in the work of the church in some way? Do you have a job? Do you have an assignment? Do you have a ministry? Do you have something that you do in the church? Good for you. That's important, vitally important. Every church member ought to be actively involved. Do you have a good testimony, a good reputation in the community? Well, I surely hope so. I do know some people who seem to be active in church, but they have a different lifestyle outside of church, and that's hypocrisy, and that's not good. But there are some people who even maintain a good lifestyle before the unbelieving community, as well as among the members of the church. But the question is, do you love the Lord? Because if you don't, you are failing to obey the first and greatest commandment. What is the first commandment? To love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. This is the first commandment. The second, which is like unto it in some ways, is to love your neighbor as yourself. But before we get to the second one, let's make sure the first one's in place, because if the first one's not in place, it really doesn't even matter if you seem to have some evidences of the second one. Obviously, you can't have the evidences in the full extent that is required if you have a right relationship with God, because that always comes first. But there are people who even appear to be loving in their relationship to their neighbors who nevertheless don't have a genuine love for the Lord, a love that has been created by the Spirit of God within them, a love that has been implanted by the Spirit of God within them. And therefore, if you are in that category, you are no true believer at all. You're not saved. Remember that well-known text in Romans 8:28? Nearly everybody who's been in church more than a few dozen times knows this text. And we know that all things work together for good. Stop there. A lot of people quote this text as if it applies to anybody and everybody. In church, out of church, saved, lost, whatever, just general application to everybody. No. The text is very specific. It gives two qualifications. And we know that all things work together for good to whom? To those who love the Lord. That's qualification number one. And qualification number two is to those who are the called according to his purpose. To those who love the Lord. You can't claim the promise that all things work together for good unless you fit into the category of those who love the Lord. Interestingly, to fail to love the Lord is, in this text, it is a failure to show affection for him. There are more than one, there is more than one word in the Greek language that is translated love. The most common one, as most of you know, is agapao, or agape, love. That's the divine love. That's the word that is translated love most often. That's the Greek word that's found most often in the New Testament for love. That's the love of John 3:16. For God so loved the world. Agapao. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. But another word that's not quite as common is the Greek word phileo. And that word has more the idea of emotional affection, not volitional action, which is what agapao emphasizes. I'm not saying that there's no overlapping between these words, because I actually think there is some. They're not in two completely distinct and separate categories that have nothing in common one with the other. That's not the way I view them. But agape love emphasizes action. God so loved the world that what? He felt a certain way? No, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. It's a love of activity, a love of doing something beneficial for the people who are loved. The word phileo has more the idea of emotional connection, emotional warmth. It is sometimes joined with other words to make a compound word, such as the word Philadelphia, which is brotherly love. We're familiar with that, or most people are. The city of brotherly love, Philadelphia. Phileo is the first word. Adelphos is the second one. You join them together to get brotherly love. And there the idea is having warm affection for one another. It is more of an emotional thing. Now, that's the word that is used here. If anyone does not have any warm emotional affection, warm emotional feeling, warm emotional attraction to the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. And this does not say that there is as much love as there ought to be. It's not a special degree of love. But if there's no love, there's a problem. No heartfelt love for the Lord Jesus Christ is evidence of a lost condition. That's what Paul is saying. That's what I'm trying to explain to you. And so the question is, do you love the Lord Jesus Christ? Do you have a warm emotional attachment to and relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ? Or is your Christianity more mechanical, more activity-driven, more horizontal rather than vertical? You're more involved in relationships with other people. But to be honest, you really don't have anything that could be called a warm emotional affection for the Lord Jesus Christ. That, my friends, is not a small matter. That's a huge matter. That's the difference between life and death. That's the difference between saved and lost. That's the difference between a born-again believer and a professing Christian who has never been born again. It's a warning. If anyone does not love the Lord Jesus Christ, let him be accursed. Let him be damned. Let him be anathema, because that's what's happening to him. That's what's on the horizon for him. Think about this. Examine your hearts. Guard your hearts carefully in the light of this text. Until next week, Greg Barkman saying good day. May God give you his eternal peace.